Welcome to the Father Jim Willig Gospel Teachings Podcast, presented by Heart to Heart Catholic Media Ministry. Father Jim was a well-known and much-loved diocesan priest from Cincinnati, Ohio. Inspired by God's Word, for many years, Father Jim presented a weekly Bible study on the Sunday Gospels. In 2001, Father Jim went home to the Lord after a battle with cancer, but his recordings and teachings live on to inspire thousands. First, we hear from Father Jim's good friend, Jesuit priest Father Michael Sparrow, who opens this podcast by proclaiming the gospel reading. Then, Father Jim's illuminating gospel teaching follows.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Then they came to Capernaum, and on the Sabbath Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Last evening, many of us heard our president give his State of the Union address. Jesus, in this gospel, gives a State of the World address. Now, let me immediately say, I don't mean to be comparing our president with Jesus Christ. I just mean to suggest that Jesus is also giving a very important message for the welfare of the world, and specifically addresses the evil spirit that threatens the well-being of the world. It can be clearly seen in this gospel, particularly how Jesus has overcome evil and shares and shows us the power by which he addresses all evil for all time. And in that light, I'm very happy to look with you at what this gospel means in terms of today and why this is a gospel we might look at to understand what I believe is the only strategy that will work in conquering any evil for any time in anyone or any situation. To begin with, Jesus begins his public ministry in the synagogue in Capernaum, which is where the scholars suggest Jesus probably lived and spent most of his public ministry. And we're told that the people were spellbound by his teaching because he taught with authority and not like the scribes. They were spellbound because Jesus' authority came from an inner authority. He did not have teleprompters. He did not have advisors. He did not say what was politically correct. He did not pay attention to the polls. He did not have any surveys afterwards or interactive television reports or commentators. He just spoke from deep down in his heart what he knew was the truth, what he knew was morally right. And this held people spellbound because they were not accustomed to this powerful, persuasive art of preaching. Most people, like the scribes, would have spoken from an external authority whereby they would have quoted or cited other people, other sources in their opinions. Jesus spoke from what he knew deep down inside himself. And not only that, what Mark connects is not only Jesus' teaching, but even more so what he does. In effect, a show and tell. He exemplifies what he already had explained. He performs an exorcism. We see the intimate connection between what Jesus did with what Jesus said, so that he was powerful in word and in deed, which makes him a man of such integrity. Let me say a word about exorcisms, because I'd like to dispel that image of the exorcist that it becomes much too theatrical and probably too dramatic. And I'd like to also, in effect, redirect our attention away from the image of a devil with, you know, the red horns and the tail and the pitchfork, and bring it closer to our experience of how we experience evil in our lives. Exorcisms were the practice of expelling evil spirits from persons or places. They are found more in Mark's gospel than any of the other three gospels. Exorcisms were continually performed by Jesus as a sign of the coming of the kingdom of God and the overcoming of the kingdom of Satan. And Mark begins his gospel mentioning how Jesus went into the desert, led by the Spirit, to confront the evil spirit. As the evil spirit tempted him. So we know already, what is that evil spirit? How do we identify it? It's whatever is drawing us away from God's way. And that spirit is so clever, so deceitful, so subtle, that usually we don't recognize that spirit. And it always tries to disguise itself in the form of good, because who would choose bad? And so it's this spirit, though, that Jesus confronts and exposes. As he begins his public ministry in this synagogue, he exposes the evil spirit that throws this man into convulsions, or I would use another word, or compulsions, or addictions, or those things that work on that poor man and work against the welfare of his own life. Now it's interesting, as we look at this dramatic scene happening, that the unclean spirit in the man is immediately disturbed by the presence of Jesus, for obvious reasons, right? No evil spirit wants to come against Jesus. And so the unclean spirit shrieks, "What do you want of us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" Exactly. He's naming exactly Jesus' very mission, which is to confront and to conquer the power of evil in the world. But it is interesting, it's a point of irony, that it is the demon that voices the first recognition of Jesus' identity and his mission in the gospel, and says, "I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." He recognizes Jesus is the principal agent of God overcoming Satan. By naming him, he wished that Satan was trying to overcome him. But Jesus rebuked him sharply. You can almost understand how we need to address evil straightforwardly and strongly, emphatically. And he says, "Be quiet. Come out of the man." And at that, the unclean spirit convulsed the man violently and with a loud shriek came out of him. Isn't it interesting? He went into convulsions when the spirit went out of him. If any of you are familiar with people who have grown up in a home that's dysfunctional, and you try to address that dysfunction, and then people get angry and they go into convulsions, conniptions, we say, because you're changing things, even though it's so disordered and disoriented, yet that's what they're accustomed to. Does this make sense? And it can really throw people off, and they almost fight you, and that's the force of evil coming out. But Jesus shows himself in this gospel story to be more powerful than the evil one. And more than that, he shows himself to win the ultimate victory over Satan in establishing God's kingdom. Now, the people are like amazed. You could just imagine how amazed they were to see someone overcome this evil spirit, because they knew, and sometimes we forget this, but we need to remind ourselves of this, what they knew was that no human being is powerful enough to overcome the evil angels. It had to be only a divine power that can overpower evil. And so they began to ask themselves, what does this mean? Mark is raising that question in our mind. Obviously, what Mark is suggesting is that Jesus is God, and he comes with a mission from God to overcome evil and to establish God's kingdom. Keep in mind, too, that later on in this same gospel, we will hear in an even more remarkable way that Jesus shares that divine power with his disciples, and he confers on them his spirit, his Holy Spirit, to go and expel evil spirits in his name. Not by their power, not in their name, but only by the name and the power of Jesus Christ. Well, what I'd like to do now is to look at this miracle of exorcism, the expelling of the evil from the man, in terms of our life and in the context of our country, in face of our family, in the situation of our nation this day. We might ask ourselves here today, what are the demons that face us in our life, in our family, in our church? Isn't it interesting that Jesus had to expel the demon in the synagogue? Don't miss that these devils lurk even in our own churches and communities. And keep in mind, as we ask the question, what are these demons? The demons are those evil spirits, those evil forces that oppose the Holy Spirit. So as you ask the question for yourself, where do you see the demon in you, in about you? Ask this question, where do you see anything that contradicts or works against peace or joy or love or kindness or truth or wisdom and harmony and forgiveness, etc., etc.? I would encourage us to consider, too, that the demons could be any of a list of addictions or compulsions that hold us bound, just like the man in the gospel. For instance, alcoholism, drug addiction, inordinate gambling, eating disorders, sexual addictions, etc., etc. You continue the list in your own mind. Could it not also be that demons are of the list of those, quote, isms that, in effect, diminish the Holy Spirit in other people, such as racism, sexism, classism, even workaholism, guilty, provincialism, those things that make us look so narrow-mindedness that we forget the larger picture, and therefore even nationalism could be a demon at times. Certainly atheism, communism, materialism, consumerism, ageism. We could go on and on. You finish the list. Moving to another category, I just cite these things to kind of provoke your own reflection about identifying the demon. Could it be that these demons would be among a list of those things that take away from the quality of human life that was made to be in the image of God and goodness? Therefore, could not poverty be a demon, as well as illiteracy or apathy or envy or jealousy? Certainly hatred and violence and crime. Again, you finish the list. Where do you see the demons even in your neighborhoods, in your community, even in our churches? That is the first thing we need to do, as Jesus did, is identify the demon. And then ask, how in the world do we address or expel such demonic forces? Remember, these forces of evil are greater than our own human strength, especially considering that addictions often afflict that area of our weakness. What do we do to reenact this wonderful gospel scene where Jesus takes hold of that evil spirit in the man? I would suggest we would try to do what the man in the gospel did. That is to say, first, somehow something led him to the synagogue. I'd like to suggest that synagogue is that place of the presence of God, and that we too would be well to come before the presence of God as we always do in prayer or even in this gospel study, and allow the demons to emerge in God's presence. With his light shining upon us, the shadow will appear and the darkness will have to be revealed. And the more you walk into the light, the more the dark spots will show up. And in fact, that's part of the problem that I see in our world today, that wants to make everything so gray, you can no longer distinguish good from evil, you know? You can no longer tell what's right or wrong. And they lose that sensitivity and sensibility of what's helpful and holy and what's evil and harmful. And our society, I think, is losing it as we become more and more amoral and lose that moral sensibility. Secondly, once we come before the Lord with these situations, with these demons, once they emerge and we try to name them, then we have to believe that the Lord has the power to overcome them. Now, if you're like me, I can believe that for everybody else's demons but my own. I know what our country needs to do. I just have a hard time dealing with what I need to do. That's where it becomes difficult. And people will tell you there's a wonderful article in the Cincinnati Inquirer magazine about the woman who was fighting an eating disorder. She's a very intelligent woman, works for, I think, for one of the local television channels, knows exactly what was going on, but just did not have the power to overcome this demon in her life. And she was suffering from anorexia and bulimia. And finally, had to come to terms with how much she needed help. We need to believe that help can only come from God. And so that leads to the final point, the most important point, is that we must come before the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our only Savior, to ask him to expel this demon first from ourselves, and those then in our family, among our friends, and the ripple effect out toward our community and wider country and world. It strikes me that these suggestions I just offered are very similar to the first three steps of the 12-step program. First, to admit that you are powerless over your problem, whatever it is that is unmanageable in your life. And secondly, to believe that a higher power can restore you to your sanity or sanctity or well-being. And thirdly, third step is to turn over your life and your will to the care of God. Let me share the powerful witness of the man for whom we owe this legacy of the 12-step tradition that has come to be such a source of recovery for so many millions of people throughout the world. It is the man I speak of, as you know and recognize, is Bill Wilson, the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. Bill Wilson had a history of alcoholism that nearly killed him. It bankrupted him and nearly broke his marriage. And he, despite every effort on his part, trying to do this or do that, nothing seemed to help him. Fortunately, he was able to meet a doctor in his life who was able to acknowledge for the first time that alcoholism was a disease, not just the lack of willpower or not just a moral defect. Despite this doctor's help, Bill Wilson was still not able to overcome his weakness, his addiction. And this doctor told him, you only have about 6 months to live before you will either be dead or insane. Consumed by this, if you will, demon of alcoholism, Bill Wilson admitted himself into a hospital that he had already entered three times to become detoxified. And sitting on his hospital bed, he cried out from his depths, and I quote, "If there is a God, let him show himself. I am ready to do anything, anything." He later wrote, "What happened next was electric. Suddenly, my room blazed with an indescribable white light. I was seized with an ecstasy beyond description. Every joy I had ever known was pale by comparison. The light, the ecstasy I was conscious of, nothing else for a time. Then, seen in my mind's eye, there was a mountain, and I stood upon its summit where a great wind blew, a wind not of air, but of spirit. In a great clean strength, it blew right through me. Then came the blazing realization, you are a free man." From that moment until Bill Wilson's death, Bill Wilson never drank alcohol again. His story reminds me so much of the experience of the man in the gospel. And if we could only have that man's own witness and words, maybe it would sound something like what Bill Wilson wrote. This power of God, Jesus comes to share with the world today. We need that power. As evil confronts us at every time, in every season, in every situation, more than ever before, the world needs, I think, the exorcism of evil. Not again seen in the dramatic sense, but in a most spiritual and powerful way, calling on Jesus to rid us of whatever hurts us and afflicts us, individually and communally. So we must undergo these same steps, and I would ask us now to reflect on these questions. What are these demons that we face in our life, and in our family, and in our work, and in our world, and in our church, and in our community? What are these demons? Can you name them? Can you identify them? And next, how can we address these demons? How can we call upon the power of Jesus to expel them? This is the good news that's being given to us today. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Father Jim's Gospel Teaching. We hope you have been inspired and will subscribe to this weekly podcast and share it with your family and friends. The mission of Heart to Heart is to proclaim the good news of God's Son, Jesus, to the entire world. For more inspirational teachings by Father Jim and Father Michael, visit our website, www.htoh.us. May God bless your heart and the hearts of all your loved ones.